In today's episode, we're diving into the idea that we can bring all of our stuff to God. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly. We're talking about how sometimes we hold back. We're wrestling with doubts or fears that stop us from fully embracing the invitation to come to the throne room. So grab your coffee or tea and get cozy, because we're going to peel back those layers of doubt and hesitation. We're not just going to use scripture, but we'll use some real personal stories and insights. It's like that moment when you're trying to open up to someone, but there's this invisible barrier holding you back. Yeah, we're going to tackle that. So join us as we break down those barriers and explore what it really means to come to God just as we are, and how we know that we can trust Him. We're going to have a heart-to-heart chat with a good friend, except this friend happens to be God Himself. So let's kick off the shoes, settle in, and get ready for a quick episode as we talk some soul-searching revelations. Hey, friend. Welcome to the Abundant Woman Collective podcast. Do you want to grow in your faith and have an intimate relationship with Jesus? Do you wake up with big, ambitious goals only to be overwhelmed and frustrated when you're way too busy and forgot to prioritize your time with Him again? Hey, I'm Sam, and I too was someone who craved a deeper relationship but was too busy to make it happen. I felt overwhelmed at trying to fit Him in and wished I could be confident in my faith and identity. I wanted to read the Bible and actually understand what I was reading, but I kept telling myself that I didn't have the time, the know-how, or the discipline or tools to make it happen, until I found a little secret to get rid of the Christian checklist. In this podcast, you will find biblical truth, hope-filled conversations with women who are right where you are, and all of the practical tools to implement so that you will be able to deepen your relationship with Jesus. So grab your coffee, Bible, and pen, and let's dig in. This past weekend, I had the incredible honor of serving at the Esther Press First Conference. If you've seen me on social media, if you follow on Instagram, which hopefully you do, come say hi if you do. But I've shared a little bit of friends' stories and reels and things, and just some snapshots of what happened there. But I haven't had the chance to share my full heart yet. That's coming. I just got to process still. But I couldn't get out of my mind identity, like all of us women searching for identity, the identity that He puts on us, the identity that we're born into, right, as a family, as a child of God, and the identity that we put onto ourselves. And me and a few friends worked the prayer room. And so we were on the prayer team. It's like the greatest honor. And so we got to pray for women, and we heard lots of stories, all the things, good, bad, ugly, traumatic, all of it, right? But I just kept feeling in my soul this, we can come to Him for anything, but there's the invisible barrier. There's things in our life or our behaviors or our thoughts that are keeping us from truly coming to Him for anything. God encourages us to come to Him for any reason. He encourages us to have confidence that we can confidently come to the throne, right? Which is Him. We can confidently ask for things, right? In Matthew 11:28, we know this. We've talked about it here on the podcast. It says, come to me, all that labor and are heavy burden, and I will give you rest. It goes on to talk about yoke, but the first words, come to me. There's several scriptures that says, come to me. Isaiah 30:18. This is the New Living Translation that I love. It says, but the Lord still waits for you to come to Him so He can show His love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for Him to help them. Girls, listen, we believe in the Bible, right? Yes or no? Answer. We believe that it is the full canon of Scripture, that it is true, that it is holy, and that it is good. Yes? No? Answer. Answer yourself. We believe that these scriptures are true. And maybe we read those scriptures and we're like, yes and amen, I believe it. But then we don't do it. This weekend, through personal conversations, and I think maybe even from stage some, we talked about how so many times we know things in our head, right? We know in our head this is true, but it has to get its way to the heart so we can believe it and act on it. The same is true for this. We know those scriptures are true. Our head tells us that. But do we believe it's true for us in our hearts? Because sometimes we don't do it. and coaching women, mentoring, discipling women all throughout these years, I've heard lots of reasons, honestly. Some of them have sound like he's too busy. Like he's a big God. He doesn't need to worry about little old me. Or like, I can handle this. It's good. And maybe we don't always say this, but we act like it. Like, I can handle this. Or this isn't a big deal. It's fine. I'm fine. Right? Have you ever thought of those in your head, or have your actions ever said those? I know that I definitely have. It's not a big deal, God. I'm fine. It's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. Don't we have the shirt somewhere? So my friend, another conversation this weekend was my friend Brittany. We were talking about something completely unrelated, and she said something that just has stuck with me. She basically shared, and I'm going to not say it as great as her, so love me anyways, but she talked about like how good fathers, like if you have a good dad, like here in real life, you have a good daddy, father, dad, whatever you call him, and that your kids, you ask your dad for like allowance, or can I borrow the car, or can you feed me? You ask your good dads for things because you love them. You trust them, right? For those of us who have like maybe dad wounds and stepdads that were not close to you or different situations, the opposite is true. We don't maybe come to those people in our lives because we don't trust them. We don't, you know, there's not that relationship there. But for the good people in our life, we ask things of them. I think this was talking about money. And so it was like, well, if this kid asks an allowance for your dad, you know, how much more does the Father in heaven want us to ask him for things? And I'm visual, y'all know that. And it just pictured a new picture for me. Like, I want my kids to ask me for things. And if you don't have children yet, totally fine. You want people you love, even best friends or sisters or friends, like all these people that you have relationship with, you want them to be able to come to you. I hate the idea that my friend would be suffering or dealing with something in her life alone, or even financially, like alone, without telling me. And like, I'm a person. I'm a a normal, everyday Jane. How much more does our Father desire that for us, for you, sister friend? So thinking about all of this led me to some of the characteristics of God that I really just, there's so many characteristics, right? And we talk about a bunch all the time, but these are three that give me the confidence, the boldness, the authority to come to his throne room, to come to his feet, to come to him in prayer and worship and crying out and lamenting and all the things, because he's consistently described as these three things. The first one is all-knowing. He is an all-knowing God. Hear me. We'll get to that. Okay. My mind is like, Holy Spirit, yes. Psalm 139 verse 4 says, before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. To say that God is present is to say that he is here with us, like really here, not absent, right? We think absent sometimes, like I'm a teacher, I teach kindergarten. So like George is absent. He's not physically here with us in class. He's not here. He's absent. But that's not the true for God. That's not true for God. We can't not physically see his person, but he left us a helper, right? Holy Spirit, which is one in three of God, is here with us. God is everywhere. He is all knowing. I feel like sometimes that gives us permission to either not approach him by thinking, oh, well, he already knows anyway, right? Like why bring it up to him or even have a conversation with him? He already knows. He already knows what I'm going to say. I feel like my kids do that too. Or a condemnation of, oh my gosh, he already knows this. I'm too ashamed to approach him. I don't know what I'm going to say. He already knows, like, oh, and I feel this heaviness. Both of those are not accurate representations of our Father's heart. Both of those, honestly, are lies from the pit of hell. In 1 John 3:20, it says, whenever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. God knowing everything isn't a new concept. Hear me when I say this. This is the part that there's assurance in my soul, right? Because he created time. Like in the beginning, us being born in this time in 2024 is not a surprise to him. He knew it, right? But that also goes to say he created time. He knew the beginning to the end, even back in the garden when Adam and Eve were still hanging out, right? He knew you. He knew all of you, all of your story. He knew it. And yet he knew it. He knew you, good, bad, ugly. And he still sent Jesus. He still sent his son for us. So that negates, that like cancels the condemnation of approaching him in that way. It totally cancels it because God already knew and he still loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you and I, right? So like he loves you. He's all knowing. And although we have sinned and we deserved God's judgment, God comes to his faithful people and he declares to them, I will be with you. This means that God is here wherever we are, but that God is also on our side. He is with us, not to destroy us, but to forgive us and to save us from sin. So if we kick off those lies and take on this new identity and characteristic of the Lord in a different way, in his heart way, that he is all knowing, maybe that comes as a relief. Maybe you can sigh heavily like, that's right, he does know me. And he does love me. Our posture is different. Coming to the throne, our heart is different. God's redemptive promise is that I will be your God and you will be my people. He wasn't just talking to the Israelites. He's talking to us as well. I will be your God, Sam, and you will be my person. Fill in your name, fill in the blank. What a precious togetherness that we get to have with God, right? Okay, number two, God is all powerful. Yes, yes. All the charismatics were like, heck yes, right? All powerful. Scripture refers to God as almighty over 50 times in scripture. So I was like, okay, let's dig. What does almighty mean? We're not going to dig super deep, but I did. But almighty means having complete power. It means omnipotent. Not just some of the power, not just the good power. Right? This isn't like the Marvel movies where it's the bad guy and the good guy and they're struggling for power. No, sorry, Bob. God has all of the power. In Genesis 18:14, it says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time and Sarah shall have a son. But listen to that first sentence. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No, no, no. His word is never void of power. So when he speaks, everything in creation obeys him. Y'all, everything in creation, not just humans, the rocks will cry out, things will happen. Creation is his. He is that powerful. But sometimes we can think this might play into the lie of, he's so powerful. He's so big. Why does he care about me? Why? I'm just a person. I'm just Sam. No, no, no. This includes the smallest details of like here, the natural world, like the falling of a sparrow or the numbers of hairs that grow on your head to the biggest events like an eclipse or a world event, right? Another part of his all-powerful is that our salvation is entirely the work of God's power, not at all our own work. Could I get a yes and amen? Can we all sigh a huge sigh of relief? I didn't do anything to earn my salvation. I'm not going to do so many good works and so many good things to earn it. And I'm surely not going to do so many bad things to unearn it. It was all because of him, because of his power. And he, friend, is in control of it all. Like, whew, for all of my fellow control freaks, like your girl, maybe even the perfectionist, like sigh. He is in control of it all. Not me, not by my works, not by my might, not by my good things or bad things. Him, he is in control of it all. In Jeremiah 32:17, it says, oh, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. God, we believe that today. Number three, the third one we're going to talk about today. There's so many more, but these are the three that really like give me assurance and confidence. It's that he is love, right? You heard that. God is love. Rev Run. No, I'm just kidding. Did you guys watch that show? Never mind. trail. He is love. It's not just that he is loving. He is that too. But that's an attribute or like a characteristic of God. God is love. It is his nature. It is who he is. Not only is he just love, he's agape love. That means unconditional love. Friends, that means a love without conditions. Do you hear me? A love without conditions. You don't need conditions. Agape describes love, God's love for us. In 1 John 4:8, it says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The ultimate act of God's love for us was when he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and then he resurrected him 3 days later. Our God meets our deepest needs and the longings of our hearts. There is nothing we could ever do to earn his love or to stop him from loving us. He is love. The Lord waits for you still to come to him so he can show his love and compassion on you. We read that in the beginning, right? For the Lord is a faithful God. Ladies, doesn't that make a difference in how we come to him? We aren't forgotten. We aren't orphaned. We aren't unloved. We aren't going for someone who doesn't have any authority or power. We're not going to this king. My daughter put in my head like this picture of Zeus, right? From what movie was that? Hercules, right? This like big buff dude with a thing, a cane thing, I don't know, and a throne made of gold. Like, that's not who we're coming through. Yes, he has the power. He has more power than obviously Zeus or Hercules, but that's a different perception of him. That's we're coming for punishment, right? When we look at a God that you're in trouble, I'm going to use my stick thing, Lord help me, I don't know the word for it, to punish you. Like, that's not it. We're not going for that. He does have the authority and power, and he does know everything. And also, he is love. We're loved completely. You are seen completely. You are known completely. You are a daughter of this God who is all-knowing, all the power, and all-loving. When we approach the throne room from that place, from that identity, everything changes. Like Brittany's story in the beginning, we can ask God for some allowance money. Like, we love him. There's a relationship there. And don't get it twisted. Don't hear me not say this. There's also sometimes where there's conviction, but the conviction comes from love. There's things in our heart that the Lord wants to shape and fix. There are things in our heart and our life that the Lord wants to heal, that he wants us to surrender, that he wants to move forward. And this isn't like a happy-go-lucky, everything's going to be amazing, life's going to be incredible, you're set for life, right? No, there's refinement that happens. There's surrendering that happens. Surrendering is not easy. There's obedience that happens still, but it all comes because of his love, his deep, deep love for us, his love for you. So let's pray some scripture over us today. I'm going to pray this over you and just hear it, receive it, ask the Lord to show you places, Lord. Do I have any of these thoughts where I'm not coming to you all the time in boldness? Do I know that you're all-knowing and all-powerful and all-loving? Do I know it in my head and not my heart? Like, ask him to reveal those things for you today. I know in my hearts of hearts that when we, as Christian women of God who want to deepen our relationship with him, we get to come to the throne. We get to come to God, a God who knows us, loves us, and is in control and has the authority and power over all of it. And we get to come not as little slaves, but as his daughters, as his daughters. So, Lord, thank you for these women that are listening. Thank you for these women that are hearing this message and it's soaking in every crevice of their heart, Lord God. We know there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For we know that fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. God, you are the perfect in love. In Hebrews, we know that it says, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive your mercy and we will find your grace to help us when we need it the most. God, I ask that each woman would know her identity, her authority, her calling, but her purpose, but all of that as a daughter of the King, that she would be so enamored, so in love, that you have captured her heart in a way like no other. Would you do that today, God? Sisters, can we surrender our heart, all of it, to the Lord so that he can do a good work with it? Can we be sisters who go to the throne boldly and ask our daddy whatever we need? Ask our father, ask our Abba, whatever, however you call him. Ask him. Go to the throne with boldness. I love you, chicks. There's three songs I want you to listen to this week. This is like your homework. Just download it wherever you listen to music. But these are songs that have just wrecked me as I've been listening and preparing for this message. One is Gold. It's called Gold by Jesus Culture and Brian and Katie Torwalt. The other one is called Whole Heart, like Whole H, nope, W-H-O-L-E, by Jervis Campbell. And the other one is called Belovedness by Sarah Kroger. Friends, listen to those. I promise you, you'll be blessed. Listen, tag me on Instagram. I want to encourage you in this walk. But until next time, ladies. Friend, I hope you were blessed by this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Before you go, quick things. One, can you follow us on social? I would love to get social with you. Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube all have the username Abundant Woman Co. Come say hi. Also, we have a free Facebook community that has women just like you building community, going after Jesus, and just making connections. Come join us there. I can't wait to meet you. And last, I would love if you could screenshot this episode and share it on your socials for a chance to be featured. Until next time.